everyone, and welcome to another episode of Talking with Cannabis. So, we're going to do something a little different today, and we're going to talk about different urban legends from around the world. I did notice that a good portion of my audience is not in the U.S., and a lot of the things that I have done on the show have been more catered to, like, the U.S. When it comes to historical things and such. I know that I have talked a little bit about Mexico, and I've talked a little bit about India and places like that, but I kind of wanted to dive more into some of the other places around the world that are frequent listeners of the show. So I thought it would be really cool to dive into Australia and see what's going on with their myths and urban legends. So I did find this little website with this article, and it's says the Australian Outback's best myths and legends, and we have about five. So I thought maybe we could dive into that, talk about that a little bit, and just see if maybe that, you know, opens up a broadened subject matter for people that aren't in the U.S., I guess is what I'm trying to say. You know, just something to really branch out to all. So I figured I'd start with Australia. And plus, I thought this might be fun, because I am really into myths and urban legends and mythological creatures and stuff like that. Whether they're true or not, they're just very interesting. So we're going to start with Australian Outback's mythological creatures and monsters and legends and such. So let's go ahead and dive on into that. Excuse me. And my co-host is here. He's just a little sad today. He's a sad boy. You're not gonna talk? That's the language you're speaking today? Oh my god. Oh! Let me just say this. Rappers, music artists, increase your security, okay? And don't hang out by yourself. And don't get into it with people. I'll just say that, because, like, the more that y'all keep getting into shit, and then something happens to you, your fans get sad. Okay? So don't do that. Think about the fans. Sorry, just had to say that. Y'all are making people sad. Stop doing that. And even if it wasn't your fault, the people that are causing this shit, stop doing that. Because, yeah, people are sad. And that's not cool. Okay? That's exactly what I think. It's a bunch of poo. Alright. Number one. The bunyip. Don't stray too close to the billabong. The bunyip was a malevolent force that lurked at the bottom of creeks and billabongs, ready to devour anyone silly enough to wander down at the wrong time. That part of the story was mainly made up for children, but I guess it could go for anyone. Now, to fill you in on what a billabong is a branch of river forming a backwater or stagnant pool made by water flowing from the main stream during a flood. if you guys didn't know, the outback gets very heavy rains and it does flood. A main reason why they do warn you about things like saltwater crocodiles and other things, because they do swim around stagnant water, which is created from floods. So if you don't run into a bunyip, you might run into a saltwater crocodile. So, you know, either way, I would just be careful. So let's see. Bunyips have been reported to have horses' manes, dog faces, flippers, fangs, tusk, one eye, two eyes, shaggy fur, short hair, horns, and to be variously as big as a horse and as small as a dog. So many different sightings have said different things, that it looks like this and then it looks like that. So take it however you would like, but I definitely would not want to run into a bunyip. I mean, would you? I wouldn't.
No.
So, yeah, that's something to think about. That's probably our scariest one besides the next one, which is called Drop Bears. If attacked, take two Pandol and prepare for certain death. Let me take a bong hit, because that was kind of scary. And yes, I am smoking in the house now because it's fucking winter and it's cold. Now, the main renter of the house may not enjoy it. Some of my roommates may not enjoy it, but you know, I gotta do what I gotta do, okay? Besides, this drowns out the newborn that's out there, so this works for me. All right, drop bears. Here we go. They are related to koalas, fun fact, and have blood-dripping fangs. They're also known to be darker than a koala bear. So, darker fur with sharp fangs, with blood dripping from them, is what they're claimed to be looking like. They eat humans and hunt at night. So, if you're wandering through the Australian forest, you know, maybe just kind of look up every once in a while and see if there's the weird-looking koala bear in the tree that might try to eat you. All right. Number three, the Great Inland Sea. Bring your own rowboat. That's what it's called. So, the Great Inland Sea is a myth of a Mediterranean-sized sea that is hidden deep out in the outback somewhere. Many have died throughout the years looking, oh, and centuries, looking for this inland sea. Searches are still go ongoing till this day, but they're just being underground. So they found a safer way to do this without people going out and drowning or crashing their boats and other things. So they drill underground to try to see if they can find this great inland sea. But more than likely, it's non-existent. Number four, we have the Jandamara, Che of the Outback. Okay, I pulled it up. In the 1890s, while working for police in the Southern Kimberleys, Jandamara, an Aboriginal from the Bunuba tribe, sorry if I butchered that, helped capture a large group of his own people. But upon seeing their suffering, Jandamara rebelled, shot a trooper, freed the captives, and stole some guns. The story of an Aboriginal bounty hunter gunning down a white trooper raised local fevers, and soon Jandamara became the most wanted man in the Kimberley. For nearly 3 years, Jandamara led police and outraged posses of bounty hunters on wild goose chases throughout the Kimberley. His hit-and-run guerrilla, I hope I said that right, raids were the first time European tactics and guns were used against whites, and it was signal that he and his people would not go quietly. They would defend themselves and their lands. His extensive knowledge of the local landscape allowed him to disappear at will and helped fuel rumors that he may not have been human at all. When Jandamara couldn't be caught, the police brought in Mickey, an indigenous tracker from an opposing tribe. With skills equal to Jandamara's, Mickey did what was seemingly impossible for white troopers. He unraveled Jandamara's bush tricks, tracked him down, and shot him dead at his Tunnel Creek hideout. Mickey, the indigenous tracker, had killed the indigenous resistance. Did you know, in the end, Jandamara's body was decapitated and the head sent His body was decapitated and the head was sent to England to, they all formed that into one word, to be displayed as a trophy. So whoever wrote this article, they need to go back and space to England to. Because I was saying a whole different word that didn't make sense. So.
Guanto.
That's literally what it said. Because there was no space. So before you guys think I'm stupid and illiterate, the article was fucked up, okay? Alright, so that guy was a little trickster and he was killed. The last one on this list is Lassiter's Reef, the holy grail of lost gold mines. Just before the turn of the 20th century, 17-year-old Harold Lassiter set out on foot from Alice Springs to the... I want to say this is Washington, gold fields to make his fortune. And somewhere along the way, he claims to have done so. Only problem was he couldn't remember where he left it. Thus began the legend of Lassiter's Reef, a supposed 14-mile-long, gold-rich quartz ironstone outcrop somewhere west of Alice. Okay, West Alice, not Washington. Why didn't they just fucking put that? God. Articles are so annoying. Since then, many have wandered into the desert with visions of uncovering its vast riches. Lassiter himself died some 30 years later, and just such a journey in 1931. Many have wasted countless hours, their own fortunes, and their sanity on the basis of a kid's tale. Some have claimed to have already found it. Lutz Frankenfield, founder of the Alice Springs Beer Can Regatta, reckons he did so back in 1994, and is just waiting to form a joint venture with the right mining company. Okay. More recently, in November 08, a Motijulu elder who recalls caring for Lassiter out in the desert before he perished also passed away, severing what could be the final link to the lost reef of gold. Did you know, facing bankruptcy, the South Australian government funded Lassiter's last expedition, not because they thought he was right, but in hopes that the subsequent gold fever would see many of the unemployed leave Adelaide. Okay.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. But that is five, myths and legends from the outback of Australia. Very interesting stuff. Not very scary, but interesting. And maybe that's what they were going for. Maybe what's really scary out in Australia is actually existing, you know? Yeah. Is that what koalas sound like?
I think so.
They're scary.
Yeah, Australia is a scary place.
Oh, yeah, I know. You haven't seen the movies that I was watching.
There's movies?
Movies about the crocodiles.
Oh.
But they are scary. In one of them, they used real crocodiles. I don't know why, but they did.
Right.
In one of them, it's like a CGI one, but it still scares you because, like, you know, you're thinking, oh, the person's gonna escape, you know, they're gonna get away, and that crocodile's just right there, and it's like, gotcha. Uh-oh.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. So, public service announcement. Don't be bringing your fucking dogs to the damn outback and then not watching them. And letting them play around water and stuff. And don't be putting them in little rowboats either. And then, like, don't be doing that. Okay? Because, guess what? The dog didn't want to go out there, more than likely. And even if it did, don't be that dumb. Be like, oh yeah, the dog's gonna be fine. Because guess what? Those fucking crocodiles have no problem munching on a dog. They have no problem munching on a person either. And if something happens to you, the dog ain't got no one to protect them. So yeah, just stop bringing your pets out there if you're gonna be dumb. If you're gonna be dumb and go out there and piss off a crocodile, because apparently people do this, and that's just the life they live, because they're used to that. But, you know, leave your fucking dogs at home, bro. Damn. That's all I'm saying. Like, bring your cats inside, and bring your dogs inside, and don't take them out to the wild. Okay? And that goes for people in Florida, too. They be bringing their dogs in these little-ass fucking canoes to go fishing and shit. And it's like, alligators and crocodiles are mean, okay? Very territorial little fucks. And in Australia, they're not little fucks. They're big fucks. Some scary ass bitches. Those fucking crocodiles are mean. They'd probably be laughing at us too. Just like that. I guess next we'll talk about the Philippines. We're going to talk about urban legends from the Philippines. And these ones are a little more on the spooky side. So if you're into that, cool. So we're going to go ahead and pull up the article from thelineup.com. And I'm going to pause that. Okay. So I got the article pulled up here. Let's just start with the little recap. So the Philippines is a Southeast Asian, I think this says archipelago, that sits in the Western Pacific Ocean, surrounded by China, Taiwan, Malaysia, and Indonesia. Filipinos have seen their share of occupation from Spanish conquistadors and the Japanese to the U.S. military. Today, bustling high-tech cities are filled with traffic and congestion, but a trip to rural farmland areas illuminates the preserved local culture. Today, the Philippines remains a spiritual country with ghost and folklore firmly embedded in its history and passed down largely through oral tradition. For a Filipino child, it's not uncommon to hear about these various urban legends and ghostly tales from an older sibling or a wise elder, especially while visiting relatives in the provinces Here are a few such ghostly legends from the Philippines. Before we go ahead and start, I'm going to take a little hit real quick. Now, if anything in this article was not factual about its history, I do apologize if I butchered anything. I do apologize. Some things I'm not very good at pronouncing. But I got love for everyone in my audience, regardless of what country they are from or where they're living. So I hope this isn't bothering anyone and it's actually interesting to you guys, or just fun, because, you know, obviously some of you guys probably already know about these, and maybe there's something you can tell me that maybe the article missed, or maybe something else that's more spooky, or, you know. So yeah, I am open to hearing and learning more about some of the history or urban legends of places. So, you know, if anyone from the Philippines wants to let me know anything, I'm open to hearing it. Is this my bong hit music? Make a bong club.
That's not a bad idea.
Instead of serving alcohol, we'll serve bong hits and we'll play that type of like house music. And then we can just
almost like a hookah lounge but with bongs.
Yes. That'd be cool. So it's safer because you're not gonna have all this tobacco rushing to your head and your heart and all this stuff. I mean, people can still have panic attacks from weed. But one time I was at this hookah lounge. I know this has nothing to do with this, but I just had to say. I went with my homegirl to the hookah lounge, right? Mm-hmm. And it was already packed, and it was hot in there. You know, people are dancing and stuff. I can't remember if they served drinks or not. I don't think they did. But this girl was obviously, like, wasted. She probably pre-gamed and then went to the hookah lounge, just like we did. But she was at the bar or the counter where you kind of order what you want to be brought to your table. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's there, and the next thing you know, she's just, like, out on the floor. And then she started, like, foaming at the mouth or, like, throwing up or something.
The fuck?
Yeah, and, like, convulsing, and then, like, her friend, like, put her on her side, and it was just getting all over the floor. And this is right by the fucking front door, the entryway, so to walk past her, you gotta avoid the throw-up and shit. It was nasty, but, kind of scary. I mean, at the time, I was like, this bitch is a dumbass, because, like, I was like, she better not throw up on me. Like, that's all I was concerned about, but looking at it now, I'm like, you know, I hope she was okay, because obviously something went wrong. At least she was with her friends, though, and her friends helped her out, but, like, yeah, they called 911, like, it was kind of a buzzkill, too, because it's like, we had just gotten there, and already there's, like, ambulances and the police showing up and shit, and it was like, bro, are you serious right now? Like, what? So I never went to a hookah bar or lounge after that, because I was like, obviously people can't handle their tobacco, and they can't handle that being in an enclosed space, and with it being hot, so it wasn't very safe. In that sense, it wasn't safe. It was very secured, like, in that sense of safe, it was very safe. You get, like, 2 or 3 motherfuckers guarding the door, and then they, like, scan you down completely before you can even go in. Like, it's, yes, they're, no one's bringing shit in there unless they're bringing it up their butt. And even then, the detector might pick that up, so, I don't know. But the first one that we have on here, on this list, is called a Capri. I'm sorry if it's not pronounced correctly.
Can I get some Fritos?
Yeah, sure. I wish Fritos would sponsor this.
Sponsored by Fritos. Fritos corn chips.
You gotta get the bag in there.
Alright, you tell the story while I eat Fritos corn chips.
I'm getting cotton mouth. You're gonna have to read something here in a bit.
Fritos brand, the original corn chips. Is that true?
I don't know. Mm. These giant tree demons tower at 7 to 9 feet tall. Wow. Are muscular and dark-skinned.
What the fuck?
And smoke cigars.
What the fuck?
They wear the traditional Filipino loincloth and a belt to keep it hidden from human sight. They dwell in large mango and banyan trees, playing pranks on passersby, confusing and disorienting travelers in the wood. Others report hearing bellowing laughter and seeing smoke and large fiery eyes from the tops of trees. What the fuck? Those confused in their own home blame it on the Capre. Or Capre. Do you want to see a photo?
Yeah. Can I be honest?
Yeah.
It looks like a black guy.
I didn't even see that. I thought it kind of looked like a goat.
I'm seeing that too.
But they say it's a tree demon, so most demons, when they draw them up, they resemble some type of goat or something.
Some animal.
Something with horns and like those types of ears, you know. I don't want that. Oh. Well, you want me to move it? Oh, no, I'm okay. Whoa. I'm starting to feel sick. Maybe I drank too much coffee.
Maybe too much creamer.
I actually put less in it this time. It's just that coffee.
Too much milk?
So I didn't barely put any milk either. It's just.
Then yes, the coffee.
It's just bitter. Like, that coffee is so bitter, it doesn't sit right.
Does it give you energy?
Yeah, it wakes me up. But I have to consistently drink it to keep it up, and my stomach ain't handling it. Anyways, enough about me, though. Number two is the Kumakatok. Again, I'm so sorry for not pronouncing that right. I'm sure that sounded terrible. It says, the three who knock are a Filipino variation of the three fates.
Wow.
This trio of hooded figures is a bad omen. They will knock three times on your front door in the middle of the night to signal the death of a family member. One Kumakatok is a young and beautiful female. The other two are elderly men. If you open the door after they've knocked, they simply disappear out of sight. What the fuck?
That's weird.
Yes, that kind of reminds me of when we were talking about urban legends in Mexico and stuff, and we were talking about witches and how they knock on the door, like, in the middle of the night. And, like, when you go to open the door, you don't see anyone. And then after you open the door, that's what invites them in, and then they, like, snatch your baby.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
These chips are good, though.
And then there's something about, like, brooms. You have to, like, put a broom in front of your door or, like, in a cross or something like that. Or, like, you have to cross two brooms or something. I can't remember it. But, like, it, like, I guess protects your house from, like, witches. And they only really show up when you have, like, a newborn. You know, they want, like, a baby. Something innocent. They like to sacrifice innocent. And they'll snatch them. I mean, they'll take kids, too, but if it's a newborn, like, yeah, you in trouble.
Like,
yeah.
Witches pull out their policy paper.
Yeah.
Oh, nope. They're past 6 months. Can't do it, buddy.
They got in trouble, what, 2 months? Can't do it.
Nope. Well, they're a 5-year-old, and they haven't made any mistakes. We could probably make an exception for that. Just give me a call back tomorrow.
That's crazy. Number three is a duende. This? No, no. What?
We heard of that. That was in Mexico.
You didn't hear me reading the history about the Philippines? There's Spanish mixed in there. Mm. And things have changed over time from people talking about it. They call it oral tradition.
My hips.
And toenails.
I cut them.
I know, but this one looks crazy. Like, oh my gosh. It's like, it looks like a mountain set a point.
Would you say it looks like Fritos corn chips, the original corn chips?
I would hope not. Okay, so let's just kind of read about the Duende. It's short. Maybe it's different from the original Mexican tale. This folktale about mischievous elves has Latin America and Iberian roots. See, so it's they have appeared in more than one place. Basically, it's kind of like Bigfoot or like the Goat Man or something. Like it appears in more than one spot. And
Littlefoot,
man, if there's a Littlefoot out there, let me know. That sounds cute. Watch that one be the scary one though.
Now, you get back in there, little man. Nice gets you when we's eating them. Zip! You remember that?
No.
From Family Guy?
Hey. These small, sprite-like creatures have a more playful temperament than their Nuño counterparts. They live in people's houses and will present the homeowner with good or bad luck, depending on how they're treated. Duendes are said to exist in the countryside, living underground in mounds or up in the trees. They emerge at noon and in the evening hours. Parents tell their children to stay indoors at these times. It's common practice to also seek permission to pass and quietly mutter, "Tabby, tabby, po," when outdoors.
What the fuck?
See, it's a little different from the Mexican one, but it all kind of
falls... It speaks Tagalog.
It all falls under the same thing. Okay, next we have the Nuño or Nuño. This diminutive goblin lives on top of anthill mounds. He's depicted as an old man with a long beard who's easily angered by anyone who disturbs him or trespasses. Children are encouraged to be quiet near the Nuño and to warn the Nuño as they pass by, saying "Tabby, tabby, po," which is "Please let me pass by, sir." Naughty children who kick and destroy anthills, or worse, urinate on them, can be spit upon and cursed by a Nuño and experience stomach aches, black urine, swollen feet, or any number of ailments. What the fuck? Black urine?
Sounds impossible.
If your child is pissing black, you need to take them to an exorcist and a doctor. Like, in the same place. Yeah, in the same place. Because they need medical attention and they need, like, some type of curse lifting stuff.
Well, you're in luck because I'm a doctor who's also an exorcist.
Well,
sorry.
Damn. It's your long nail.
Just the one. It's a chip clip.
It's a nail.
So I ate the rest of the chip crumbs.
Okay. Next we have Aswangs. And Manangal. Mm-hmm. It's long, okay?
I don't know.
There's much superstition surrounding these evil witch-vampire hybrids that prowl through the dark hunting humans. Oh my gosh. Aswangs are said to be in human form during the day and can shapeshift into animals, dogs, pigs, cats, bats, depending on the province or region's lore. They may enter your home and drink human blood, steal corpses, and are especially attracted to human fetuses and pose a danger to pregnant women. The demon will sniff out the scent of the pregnant woman, which is said to resemble a ripe jackfruit.
The fuck?
Jackfruit supposedly stinks.
Never had I've seen one.
Once she arrives at the home, the demon sticks her tongue, her long tongue down through the roof into the unsuspecting mother's womb and feast on the fetus.
Now I heard like pulled pork jackfruit sandwiches are pretty good. I mean, it doesn't have pork in it, but it acts like
my bad. Maybe it's not chicken. A jackfruit that stings. Maybe it's another fruit that I'm thinking of. A menangel is an otherworldly creature that's similar to an aswang. They can sever her torso from the top half of her body. She must hide the lower half of her body while she flies at night to feed. She can also seduce men and eat their internal organs, including the heart. To kill the menangel, one must find her torso and place salt, ash, or garlic on it to prevent it from rejoining the upper half. If her body is still severed at first light, the demon will be destroyed. Other measures taken by pregnant women include leaving small containers of salt, ash, and raw rice, or the scent of burning rubber to deter the demon from visiting their home. Wow. Ain't that some shit?
Yes.
Next we have a duende. This folktale about mischievous dwarves has Latin American and Iberian roots. These elven creatures have a more playful temperament than their Nuno counterparts. So this is just the duende, but pronounced a little differently. So a lot of it is similar. It says they live in people's houses and will present the homeowner with good or bad luck depending on their coloring and how they're treated. So for this, it goes by color. Also, a duende puti, which is white, are kinder than the duende eaten, which is black. If I'm pronouncing that wrong, again, I'm sorry.
You said puti.
Maybe it's putty, I don't know. They may hide your things and play pranks. Other duende live in trees or in the countryside, coming out at noon and in the evening hours. Parents tell their children to
boy, I'm not allowed to touch
it's tickling
you.
Me and I'm trying to read.
I don't know. Sorry.
Parents tell their children to stay indoors at these times. It's common practice to also seek permission to pass and quietly mutter tabby tabby po when outdoors. The last one is the white lady. This ghostly tale is popular around the world, including the Philippines. The urban legend has found its way into popular culture with several horror films made about the topic. Many provinces boast their own tales and spooky sightings. The white lady normally appears to drivers on a dark, desolate road. We've heard of this before. They see her reflection in the rear view mirror and then she vanishes. Ooh, creepy. The most popular white lady story from the Philippines is the White Lady of Belet Drive. The story goes that many years ago, a young woman died in a car accident while driving down Belet Drive. A windy banyan tree lined her. Her killer never came forward, and she wanders the road in a state of unrest. Drivers who are alone in their car report seeing a woman hitchhiker. Those who stop and offer a ride are in for a shock. When they look back, the spectral woman is bloodied and covered with bruises. other times the driver turns around only to see the spectral woman disappear before their eyes. So we have heard many versions of that story before, even out here in the U.S. So it is a widely talked about story.
White lady.
So that, folks, kind of wraps up today's episode, and that's pretty much it for these urban legends. I'm gonna pick two other places to talk about next week, and hopefully we can get that done. If you enjoyed today's episode, give it a listen, share it, let someone know. That was really annoying.
That was supposed to be like an arcade game, but it sounded more like a pinball machine.
Yeah. And make sure to take care of yourselves and others, and keep your eye out for a duende.
Eat something healthy today.
And eat something healthy today.
And drink water.
Yes, stay hydrated.
Yep.
I'm going to take this and head out, and we'll talk to you guys very, very soon.
Okay. Yeah. Drink water.
That's champagne.
That's sparky water.
That was sparky water. All right, bye y'all.